Westside Baptist Church in Newnan, Georgia, brings you our weekly podcast. We hope you will be encouraged by our music and a message from the Word of God as we present our Sunday morning and Sunday evening services and our weekly broadcast by Dr. Melvin Payne. We thank you for listening.
The first blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of sounding good this morning. Amen, amen.
A world torn in two. If you're somewhere between doubt and believing, friend, I have the answers for all that you're needing.
Ask me who, and I'll tell you it's Jesus. Ask me how, and I'll say it's the blood. Ask me where, and I'll take you to Calvary.
Ask me why, and I'll tell you it's love. Well, it has been years since she found amazing grace. It's been a long journey, but each battle she's faced has proven God is faithful time and again, and a chance to tell others who were right where she's been. If you're somewhere between doubt and believing, my God has the answers for all.
Praise the Lord. It's good to be in God's house. I wouldn't want to be anywhere else this morning than in God's house, Westside Baptist Church. Hey, thank God for this noise over here. All those youngins running around trying to get downstairs to junior church. I think it's a wonderful thing. And once again, we do, you know, as we've started our toddler church, need help in there as well. So see Denise Caldwell, if you will, if you're willing to help in that area. Now, let's, if you don't mind, let's not forget to pray for John. We were over in at Chick-fil-A Friday night, excuse me, when you received a phone call that his brother had passed away. And so if you would, just keep him in prayer. They live way out there in Kansas, so I don't know what their plans are, but you just pray for them. If you have your Bibles, please turn to the book of Acts. The book of Acts, please, and I guess chapter 26. I wanted to go into a little bit more depth, a little bit more history behind this scene, but I think it's more important that we just take this text as it is and go with it. But I will say this. Brother Paul was in a mess. He had started a few chapters ago preaching to the Jews. And matter of fact, before he did that, the Lord appeared to Paul and said, you may want to get on out of here, fella, because if you preach, it's going to get ugly. But Paul was so convinced that these people needed the Lord, and that with his testimony, that he may be able to reach them. Remember Paul, the Pharisee, the man who sought Christians out. It didn't matter if they were man, woman, boy, or girl. He would seek them out and to imprison them, kill them. In other words, he didn't like Christians. And so he was not a good man. His name at that time was Saul, not Paul. But nevertheless, the Lord said, you know, at this point you may want to get out of Jerusalem. But Paul had such a burden and wanted to share them, the lost knowing his testimony, the Jews knowing his testimony, he felt like he could be an effective witness to those men and women. And so he did. He went in, and next thing you know, he's in trouble. Matter of fact, they're trying to kill him. And thank goodness there was a captain of the guards there that saw what was going on and sent his men in and rescued Paul and took him to the castle. And that is where one thing after the other happened. He ends up in Caesarea, and here he is standing before King Agrippa. Now, I do want to say this, that King Agrippa was not a good man. Matter of fact, it's even historians say that he was even having an incestuous relationship with his sister, the one that is actually mentioned here. But nevertheless, he was wicked and he was lost and he was undone. But Paul had been, at this point, put in a position. He had already spoken to Felix and Festus and the crowds that surrounded them, each time moving up the ladder of authority, but here he's now speaking to King Agrippa. And then in verse 1 it says this, "Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Thou art permitted to speak for thyself. Then Paul stretched forth the hand and answered for himself." And really the text that I want you to take note of is the next few words where Paul says, "I think myself happy." Now understand that Paul's in a dilemma. He's already gone through the ranks. He's now speaking to King Agrippa. And a few chapters ago, as I've already mentioned, the Lord was saying you need to get out of Dodge. And he didn't. He stood his ground and he preached. But he's saying here, I'm happy. I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to be bold for the Lord. Because you see, when Paul stood before King Agrippa, he did not stand as a free man, but he stood, as you'll continue to read, you'll find that he stood there before King Agrippa in shackles. He was a man that was bound. He was a man that was imprisoned, but yet he stood in an environment that none of us would want to be in. Before authority, or may I say before a judge, and was being scrutinized and criticized by those men around him. But yet, in spite of his position, despite his condition, we find Paul says, I think myself happy. First and foremost, let me say this, that back in chapter 23 and verse 11, after Paul was rescued by the chief captain and sent to the castle, the Lord appeared unto Paul. And you know what he said? The Bible says he stood by Paul. And you know what he said? He said, be of good cheer. So here we got Paul just being obedient to the Lord in the middle of a mess. Basically, he's on his way to face Caesar at this point. I mean, that's the biggest arena you can imagine being in that day. We would think ourselves in a mess if we were in his position. But Paul said, I'm happy to be here. No matter what condition or situation, Christian, we find ourselves in, can we not just be happy to be here? I once heard that if you wake up in the morning and there's not a chalk line around your body, it's going to be a good day. So sometimes we just need to be happy to be here. We need to be happy in the condition or the situations that God allows us to get into or fall into in our lives. And we just need to be at peace with it, instead of fighting it and being aggravated over these things, becoming angry with the Lord. We can just say, you know, I don't understand, I don't like it, I don't want it, but I'm just going to be happy. It's almost in pop culture, I guess we could say, in pop culture language, we could say the Lord is saying, don't worry, be happy. Well, so Paul, in this mess, was of good cheer. Number one, he was of good cheer because the Lord said, hey, be of good cheer. Secondly, I think he was a cheerful mindset because he was having the opportunity to defend himself. Now, you got to understand, he had defended himself before Felix and Festus twice to the governor, Felix. And he was able to defend himself. So he felt pretty confident that he was going to be able to take care of the situation and move on and do as he was told, go to see Caesar. So he was welcoming this opportunity to communicate, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this, with the lost. The king was there. Bernice, the sister, was there. The governors were there. And all the leaders of Caesarea, they were there. The Jews, those that hated him, they were there. And he counted it an honor to stand before them and to share some things. I believe we need to understand that God has given us an honor, not just an opportunity, to share with the lost and the dying world. I tell you, he was excited. He was happy because he was able to share or to give his testimony. Can I just read this to you? It says this. He says, Paul said to King Agrippa, "And I punished them oft in every synagogue." He's talking about Christians. He's given his testimony how he went through the synagogues and would find the Christians and have them imprisoned. Moms, dads, children. He was a heartless man, and he's giving his testimony to these lost people. Then he said in verse 12, "Whereupon I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests." Once again, his testimony he's about to tell us. "At midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining around me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth," that's the power of God, ladies and gentlemen, "I heard," they saw the light, Saul/Paul heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in Hebrew tongue, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." And Paul said this, "And I said, Who art thou, Lord?" I like this. Because what came out of the mouth of the Lord was, "I am Jesus." A man that was lost and undone, the evil of evil, the picture of evil. And yet the Lord Jesus revealed himself to the most evil individual, one of the most evil individuals we've seen in biblical history. And yet, Jesus revealed himself to Saul, the evil one. I don't care who you are in this room today. I don't care what you've done. I don't care how evil you see yourself. I want to tell you that today, Jesus loves you, and he will reveal himself to you if you'll recognize you're a dirty, rotten sinner that just needs to be saved this morning. I remember when I was a child. I remember the day that the Lord saved me. I remember the day that at that time where the convicting power of the Holy Spirit fell upon me, and it was like Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, said, "This is Jesus." I recognized my lostness and my undoneness. I tell you, I was earlier in the office, and Rebecca and Brooke came by. And I was telling somebody, I was telling, I think Brother Stephen and Miss Amanda, said, "Miss Brooke was saved here at the church 6, 8, 9 months ago." And she said, "Oh, no." She said, "December such and such at 11:23 a.m. That's right. That made me want to shout. "Oh, no." I said, "Oh, my goodness, you mean it's been over a year now. I mean, time's slipping by." But, man, she was quick to let me know. Hey, I must say, I don't remember the time like that. The only reason I remember it was on a Sunday is because we had come home from church. But I remember the shout that I heard from the Holy Spirit that revealed to me that I was a sinner. I want to say to you, when old Paul heard the name of Jesus, it changed his life. I want to say to you, if you don't know Christ as your Savior this morning, if you will embrace Him and accept Him and turn from your sins, He will save your soul. Now listen, that's what Jesus did. But I like it because it even gets a little better. Are you ready for that? So here we have, in verse 15, Jesus is revealed to this most wicked man. Then the Lord says this to Paul. He says, which is still Saul, "But arise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen." A minister. We say, well, Paul was a great minister. He was the writer of many books and pursued thousands of lost people, and they submitted to the conviction of the Holy Spirit and they were born again. Oh, Paul was a great minister. We all know me. I couldn't leave it there, Brother Dave. So I decided to do a little word search. And this is what we have to understand, Westside. Are you ready? Are you ready? I'm not going to be too much longer this morning. Are you ready for this? "I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister." So I looked up the word minister, and I wanted to see what the Bible had to say in the Greek. And this is what the word minister means. Number one, the Lord God was telling Saul, "I want to make you a servant." He was telling Saul, "I want to make you a under rower or a subordinate rower." Well, I thought, well, that's strange that the word minister would mean subordinate rower or under rower. And I looked that up, and I found it means one to pull or row as a crew. Well, that got me thinking. And you know what it made me think about? Ben Hur. You know, Moses. I mean, Charlton Heston, you know. The rower of a crew. I want you to think like this. In the belly of the warships that day, they had the subordinate rowers or the under rowers. And there was an aisle that went right down the middle of seats, kind of like these pews. And people in those seats, and like the windows, little holes in the walls, and the oars went through those holes, stretched across the laps of these under rowers. And these under rowers would row the ship to the beat of a drum. This is cruising speed. But when they wanted to go into battle, they would increase the drum sound. And those under rowers were to row at the pace of the beat of the drum. And the faster the beat, the faster the ship went. And they rowed in unison. And that is how they went into battle, ladies and gentlemen. I look down the cross in the same way today. I see these seats. I can imagine the oars coming into the center aisle. And I can just imagine this group over here. You're rowing at one pace. this group over here, you're kind of rowing at another pace. Some of you back there, you decided not to row at all. And you know what happens? You're rowing at this pace. You're rowing at a little quicker pace. Some of you are rowing at all. You know what's taking place, Westside Baptist Church, when we under rowers do that? We go in circles. We go nowhere slow. We're ineffective. But if we're pulling on the oars systematically to the beat of the Holy Spirit's drum, we can move forward. Hey, I'm telling you, we can be effective. Hey, I want to tell you what I saw in August. I started not to tell you all this, but I'm going to. It may not help the message. It may hurt it. But I'm telling you, I'm going to say this. I was going home from the church one day. I came to the roundabout in August now. Did you hear me? In August. In August of this year, 563 degrees outside, no rain, August. And I pull up to the roundabout, and there's a car coming through the roundabout. So legally, what do? Yield. Well, I couldn't help but notice as this car came by me, it had on top of the car brackets for snow skis in August. And I thought, that has got to be one of the dumbest things I've ever seen in my life. This guy has to be frustrated with his sport. Well, I wish it had stopped there, but I just wanted to get another look at this. So I got into the roundabout and took off to chase this guy down. I wanted to look at someone who had ski brackets on the roof of their vehicle in August. I wanted to see what they looked like. I'm sorry. I wanted to see what dumb was, okay? But as I flew up behind him, hoping to get a glimpse of this fella, you know what else I found out? On the back of his car, the tag had a little bitty wheelchair on it. August, noon in Georgia, middle of a drought. Ski brackets on top of the car. Cripple guy driving the automobile. I'd have to say that was probably one of the most ineffective pursuers of his sport of anyone I've ever seen. Wouldn't you think that would be ineffective, Brother Joe? I want to say to you, Christians, sometimes I'm afraid spiritually we're running around with snow skis on our roof in the middle of August. We may look like we're prepared for something, but what we're prepared for just ain't going to happen. I remember years ago, we had some folks from Florida. We lived in Canada, missionaries in Canada. And the phone rang, and Dad picked up the phone, and it was a preacher from Orlando, Florida, in the middle of July. And he said, "Brother Midget, we want to come up and see your work. And while we're there, we want to do some snow skiing." Well, there's no snow in July in Canada. It's just not going to happen. I guess what I'm saying is we need to be smart, we need to be effective, and we need to row to the beat of the Holy Spirit. I was thinking about this, Pastor, today and yesterday and for weeks. We got Miss Margie back there. I watched her grow over time, and she's pastoral secretary, but she's really almost become a jack of all trades. I almost say it more like an administrator. And then a year or so ago, Brother William was willing to shift so we could start the technical aspect of growing the ministry with technology and so forth. And folks, if you could see what we've got going and going to show up real soon in the future, you would absolutely love it. Then I said, okay, Lord, you've given us a good foundation to move forward. And then God started working, and phone calls here and there, and Brother Stephen and I would talk, and we really didn't think there was any chance of things working out, but the Lord had other plans. I guess what I'm trying to say, Westside Baptist Church, if we will grab the oar and row together, get our personal objectives and objections out of the way, God can do some things. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying that God hasn't been doing things. Holy mackerel. Over the last, I don't know what a holy mackerel is, but that's what I said. Sanctified fish. Okay, all right, that'll work. I'm going to tell you, God can do something if we will fall in line. I don't mean my line. I don't mean Brother Dave's line. I don't mean the deacon's line. I'm talking about Holy Spirit. We can do some things at Westside Baptist Church. Now that's for you Christians. But I want to know about you. You that have never recognized that you're a sinner. You've never understood that without Jesus Christ, you will die lost and undone outside of Christ. And there you will be separated from Jesus for eternity. Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, would you consider becoming a Christian today? What are you hanging on to? The death and the destruction, the confusion of this world, a Satan that hates your guts, a world that could care less whether you live or you die, or on the other hand, you've got Jesus that hung on the cross for your sins, that was beaten for you, brutally stabbed for you, nails through his hands and his feet, spears in his side, thorns pushed down on his head and shoved in behind his eyeballs. Would you forgive me for not understanding this? Now look, world hates you, cares nothing for you. Devil hates you, wants you in hell forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what. It's a no-brainer. Won't you accept Jesus today? You say, well, I tell you, preacher, I would be saved, but I might have to give something up that I enjoy doing. If what you enjoy doing is wrong, when you get saved, your wanter will change. That's right. Say, oh, but preacher, I like the alcohol. Not if you're born again. Oh, but preacher, I like the drugs. Not if you're born again. Oh, preacher, I sure do like skimming off the top at work or lying to my friends or cheating on my wife or cheating on my husband. Not if you're born again. He'll change what you want in this life. Do you know Jesus this morning? Every head bowed, every eye closed. Paul saw, was so lost, hated Jesus Christ, hated him, hated his worshipers, then found himself on trial as a man of God because he told the Jews that Jesus lives. The good news is Jesus does live. The good news is we serve a risen Savior. Amen? So, lost person, you don't know Christ as your Savior, I want to tell you, if you'll accept Jesus today, you're not just accepting a doctrine. You're not just accepting a belief or a belief system. You will be accepting life itself and life eternally. And that Jesus Christ I'm telling you about will live in your heart. He'll walk with you and talk with you, as the old song says. All you have to do this morning is submit yourself to Christ. Say, Lord, I'm a sinner. Father, I realize that without you, I'm on my way to hell. And Lord Jesus, if you would come into my heart and save me from my sin, cleanse me, O Lord. Make me a new creature in you. Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for resurrecting for me. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. If you'll bow your little knee, your head, and your heart at the cross of Calvary, Jesus will save you this morning. Brother, let's sing, please. Let's stand, every head bowed, every eye closed. Lost person, you must be born again. Christians, maybe this is your request. Lord, help me to pull on this oar to the beat of your spirit. Help me to know when to move and what to move and how to move. Oh God, help me. Christians, help is just here at the altar if you'll do things. In the name of Jesus, let's pull on the oar. And let's pull on the oar together. The altar's open.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and thy will while I am waiting, yielded and still. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Wider than snow, Lord, wash me just now.
Where's your desire, Lord?
As in thy prayer.
Christians, as the music continues to play, where's your desire? Say, Lord, give me an oar, and I'll pull on it.
want to beg of you this morning, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, please don't leave this church building lost. Please understand that Jesus loves you and died for you, and He wants to enter in your heart today. He wants to make you a new creature. He wants to cleanse you from your sin if you'll just let Him. Please come as we sing.
Have Thine own way, Lord. Have Thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Savior.